And then you all come inside and you say again, yeah, it's your birthday, Philip. I said, I know, it's great, it's my birthday. And you all sit down and you start giving presents to each other, right? That'd be funny. And then there's a, you know, another thing that can happen is, these will all make sense a bit later. Have you ever had either birthdays or Christmases where you give your children, if you have them, or your brothers and sisters, presents, and they like the box better than the thing you got them? You know, that can be frustrating. And then on another time, you can give them presents and they've hardly opened it and they just turn to you and say, where's the next one? I've had that happen in my house with my littlies, right? And it's like, you know, they expect more than one and I'm sure they're grateful, but you know, there's a lot of things about presents and Christmas and gifts, and so we're going to talk about gifts today and Christmas. If this thing works. Okay, I'm going to need help because I got no notes. So, oh yeah, if you can just flick them as I tell you. And, yeah, I don't know what's happening there. But anyway, so, I might need my computer in a minute because it'll help me. So, the most famous Christmas story about giving gifts is obviously, as you know, the wise men. We won't go as far as saying the three wise men. We do know that there was more than one, though. And the reason we know that is a term they use is magi, and that's a plural term. So we know there was at least two. But in all honesty, the story's in Matthew 2, 1 to 12. I read it this morning. It's a fascinating story. Like, when you actually read it, because we just believe what people tell us, that they're there at the birth of Jesus and they followed the star, right? We all believe they followed the star from wherever they came, don't they? You know, that's not actually quite true. But anyway, we'll have a look at it in a minute. So they followed the star and they were there at the birth. That's what and they had three camels. That's what most of us believe. An amazing story if you actually go and read what was actually written about the Magi. But we know there's at least two. But because they were rich, you know, very impressive people, there was probably a lot of them. They probably came with an entourage, you know, like as if someone famous was coming to town. There was probably a lot more than three. These are actually very, you know, well-known people. I'll actually read Matthew 2, 1 to 12 now. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived unexpectedly in Jerusalem. So they came without notice, came to Herod saying, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and we've come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people and asked them where the Messiah would be born. In Bethlehem of Judea, they told him, because that is what's written in the prophets. And he quotes Micah, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, because out of you will come a leader who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. When you find him, report back to me so that I too can go and worship him. After hearing the king, they went on their way. And there it was, the star they had seen in the east. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed beyond measure. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. So these magi, these wise men, where did they come from? How many were there? How long after the birth? The star, that's a question in itself. But the most interesting question to me is, how did they know that the baby was to be the King of the Jews? Because that's what it says in verse 2. It says, they came to Herod saying, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? How did they even know that? Just by seeing a star. So a brief, I guess, church history of tradition of the wise men. We often heard that we know that there were three of them, and we've heard their names. This is sort of, you know, just tradition. And their names were Caspar, Melchior, and Belshazzar. But that's none of that. That's just tradition, or, you know, none of that is in the Bible. We don't know that for sure, obviously. We do know that they weren't there at the birth, though, because it says they went to a house, not to the stable. So we knew. I mean, logic can say that when Jesus was born, they saw the star in the east, and it was a sign to them that something had happened, and they started heading towards Jerusalem. And they obviously knew that it was the king of the Jews, because that's what they told Herod. When they saw this star, they saw the king of the Jews has been born, and they headed towards Jerusalem. I'm guessing that's why they went to Jerusalem and not Bethlehem. They didn't know the prophecies of Micah, otherwise they would have gone straight to Bethlehem. All they knew that it would be the king of the Jews, and so they went to the king of the Jews. They went to Herod. He was the king of the Jews at the time. And I guess they wanted to know when this son was coming, this new king of the Jews. So who were they? Magi were Medes. Have you heard of about the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians? They took over from the Babylonians. And the Magi is an actual, like it's not just wise men in generic, as in professors or magicians. It's actually an actual group of people. And they're part of the Medes, but they came from a hereditary tribe of priests. And just like with the Jewish people, the Levites are a hereditary tribe, as in the priests passed down father to son. The Magi were the same. They were a hereditary tribe in the Medes who were priestly. They're actually like monotheistic, to whatever that word is. They served one God. They weren't Jews, it wasn't the one and true God. They were pagans, but they did serve just one God of their own. And they became the most important advisors in the Medo-Persian kingdom, later the Babylonian. They were very important in that empire. And they're actually referred to in the Bible a couple of times, that tribe, in the Old Testament. So in Esther 1:13, it says the king consulted the wise men who understood the times. That's them, that's the Magi. They lived in that kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. For it was normal procedure to confer with experts in law and justice. So while the Magi weren't kings, they were what you call kingmakers. They actually had the authority to anoint kings. And they were consulted with big decisions. They were the professors and the philosophers of their day. They were brilliant, highly educated scholars who were trained in medicine, history, religion, prophecy, and astronomy. And they were also trained in today what we call astrology. But astrology today it's completely different to what they sought back then. We keep astronomy apart from astrology now, right? Astronomy is the study of the stars in a scientific way, and astrology is more the occultish side of it. But back in their time, they're more linked into just one thing where the Magi would consider that as a search for God. You know, they'd look at the stars and, you know, ask questions like, who am I, and why am I here, where are we going? It was more one science together, the astronomy and the astrology. It's different to the star signs in the paper today. So in summary, they were highly educated men who thought deeply about life. But they weren't Jews, they were pagans. So why would they travel from the kingdom of, you know, Babylon, Medes, Persians, over 1,000 Ks to come to Jerusalem? Why would they do that? The answer was that they have come to see the baby Jesus, King of the Jews, and they knew from the star that a baby had been born, but they didn't know where. And they knew he was a king, but they didn't know his name. But they knew he was the king of the Jews. And how did they know? And while it's not written black and white in the Bible, there's an interesting story in Daniel 2 that we can sort of have a look at. And in Daniel 2, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And I'm not going to read out the dream, it's inconsequential. But Nebuchadnezzar asked his wise men, he asked the Magi, to not only interpret the dream, He asked him to tell him the dream without knowing. So can you imagine if a king came to you and said, I dreamt last night, but so you don't just make up the meaning to my dream, so I know you actually have the power to interpret dreams, you tell me what I dreamed, and then you interpret it. Otherwise you die, the whole lot of you, not just one of you, the whole team's going down, right? And the Magi responded quickly by saying, no man could tell you what you dreamed last night. That's impossible, right? You can't tell me what I dreamed last night. That's, well, not without the Spirit of God. And that was right. And all those wise men were going to die. Until someone piped up and said, there is a man called Daniel. And he is good at interpreting dreams. Why don't we try him? I guess at the time the wise men were, you know, clutching straws. So they pulled Daniel in, and Daniel was able to tell the king his dream. He prayed to God. God gave him the dream. God gave him the interpretation. And he told the king an amazing story. Read it all in Daniel chapter 2. But because of that, verse 48, then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many generous gifts. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and chief governor of all the wise men of Babylon. Isn't that an amazing statement? So suddenly there's a link here between Daniel and that hereditary tribe of Magi who is considered, you know, the at least they knew about the laws and the customs. They were at least referred to whenever decisions were made. And so this, we don't know what Daniel said to them. Obviously, it's not in the Bible. But it's interesting. The Magi did know a king of the Jews was coming. And maybe, possibly, Daniel used to talk to them. Maybe Daniel was an evangelist. And, you know, there's over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament, some by Daniel, some by Isaiah, Micah, as we read earlier, and they're called messianic prophecies. And they all talk about the coming of Jesus. And all, it's 320-something, every single one was fulfilled in Jesus. You know, an amazing, I mean, the Bible is so accurate, it's amazing. So, you know, we could, I guess, logically presume, I'm not saying it's biblical, that Daniel would talk to the wise men about the Messiah. Daniel himself prophesied the time that it would take place. We know from Isaiah that the Messiah would suffer. And when we, in a minute when we talk about the wise men gifts, the gifts allude back to some of those messianic prophecies with things like myrrh. And so, you know, the messianic prophecies are amazing. They told where Jesus would be born. They said when Jesus would be born. They said it would be a virgin birth. Then they spoke about his death and how he would die. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of them. You can look it up in the Bible yourself. And they all came true. The interesting thing about this is not only would the Pharisees and Sadducees have known all these 300 prophecies, they actually had to memorize them. That was part of their... And that comes back to that story of Herod. Remember the wise men ask Herod, where's the baby? Where's the king? And Herod goes, I'll go ask the Pharisees and Sadducees. And so they ask them, and the Pharisees and Sadducees says, well, Micah said it was Bethlehem. So... like, this wasn't a chance happening. The Pharisees and Sadducees were well aware of the prophecies about the Messiah, when and where it would happen. For some reason, they didn't see it when it did happen. They missed it. But they told Herod it would be Bethlehem, and Herod told the wise men. And there's the scripture straight out of Micah. A new Bethlehem in the land of Judah are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, because out of you will come a leader who will shepherd my people Israel. So before we go on with the Magi, like I said, what's interesting about this story is the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they knew all these scriptures. They knew more than the wise men. The wise men just knew that it was a king of the Jews, and when they saw the star, they knew it was the sign, and they came to look at him. But they didn't know where he would be born. Obviously, they hadn't read Micah. But the Pharisees and Sadducees knew, because as soon as Herod asked, they gave the answer. It's Bethlehem. And But the Pharisees and Sadducees aren't in the nativity scene. They missed it. And just as a little sidetrack, because they were the religious people of the day. They're sort of like us today. Like, we know what God has told us. We know our promises. We do know a lot of verses off by heart, just like they did. And just continue to be prayerful that when God moves, you don't miss it because you're looking for something else. Sometimes in your head, you've got a picture. We're talking about this on prayers on Friday night. Sometimes when you pray for something, you have a picture in your head what that will look like. And often it's completely different. Don't miss what God's doing just because you have your own interpretation in your head. That's what happens to the Pharisees and Sadducees. So, the gifts. We were talking about gifts earlier. These are the gifts that the wise men brought. They bought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Remember, these were wise men, and while they were academically wise as well, this is a linking to understanding, not just smart, as in not just they know maths. They were men of understanding. They were men of, we know that they knew the times. They were there when they saw that star. Oh, so I just quickly go back to that star. In the scripture, the star didn't lead them to Jerusalem, as you saw in the scripture. They saw the star and began the trek to Jerusalem. And then once they got to Jerusalem and asked if the baby was in, got told the baby was in Bethlehem, then the star appeared again and led them to the house. Now, there's a lot of conjecture over what that star is, but that's fine. But I personally am pretty sure it's not a comet, or like they talk about that when Venus and... For me, it was a supernatural event of one kind or another that led them to the house. And we don't know anymore. But the star led them from Jerusalem to the house. But they saw the sign earlier to get to Jerusalem through their knowledge of the writings of the Jews. So the gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So they had understanding. Gold proves when they gave him gold that they understood that this baby was a king. If you look at it in natural eyes, that doesn't make any sense because he was born in a stable. Even they didn't see him there, they found him in a house, but they didn't find him in a palace. They went to a palace and were told he wasn't there. So, but they understood, not just by physically looking, but by the understanding, they knew that he was a king. That he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We also know that gold is a symbol of the apostolic as well. So Christ was an apostle. He was sent to do the work of another. And all through the Gospels, he said that. I only hear what my Father's saying. I only do what he tells me to do. Jesus Christ was an apostle. He was on someone else's mission. By giving gold, they acknowledged Jesus' kingship. Frankincense, by giving frankincense, they understood he was God. Frankincense is a symbol of deity, of prayer. It can be used as an incense, you know, and so it's a symbol of communication, of prayer and of deity. So they understood when they gave him that gift, he was God. It refers to the priestly nature of the Messiah. And by giving myrrh, they understood that he would suffer and die. Because myrrh means sorrow. And it's that spice is what they wrap, you know, that culture, they wrap dead people in. It was a burial process. So they understood that. When they, like, it's not a normal thing we do with baby gifts. Like, it's a strange baby gift, right? Giving a family a burial spice. And they understood when they gave that spice across, they understood it was a symbol of death and burial. And they understood that this king had come into the world in order to give his life for us. It also pointed towards his humanity. See, Jesus was born into a context. And we just watched it on what's in the Bible, where he was talking about how sin had entered our world. And the kingdom of God came to, you know, save us from sin and eventually remove us from the presence of sin, or remove sin from the present, out of our presence. But he was born into this sinful world. And the problem with sin is that it affects us. It affects our relationships. And a lot of people, they try to treat the symptoms of sin. But we all know from medically that you can't treat symptoms. Like, if you treat symptoms, it doesn't fix the problem. It might put it off for a little time, but treating symptoms doesn't help. You have to treat the root cause. And the root cause is our heart. Our heart condition is sin. Sin has consequences. A lot of people don't believe that sin has consequences, but sin disconnects us from God. So when we hear people ask, as we often do, where is God? Like, if they're suffering, where is God? Unfortunately, we have to answer, well, he didn't leave us. We left him. And he didn't separate himself from us. We chose to separate ourselves from him. And he didn't reject us, but we chose to reject him. And that's sin. And we know that the answer to sin is Christ, but a lot of people don't. And sin is a bit like, debt or an overdraft. And if I have an overdraft, right, that means I owe the bank money or loan. And say Graham has an overdraft, he can't fix my overdraft. Because you can't fix debt with debt. The only person who can fix an overdraft or fix a debt is someone who has credit. And Jesus Christ, he's the only one who has credit. He was spotless, sinless. So while we might try to treat symptoms, we need Christ. And the wise man, Christ had to come to die for us, for that, you know, to fix our overdraft. And the wise men understood this. And when they came and gave him that gift, they said, "You have come to die." They understood that. And Christmas is great because Jonathan was talking about Emmanuel. It's a time where the invisible God became visible, a time where the unknowable God became knowable. But there was a purpose to it. It's not just, you know, the baby Jesus story. You know, we have to move, we can rejoice in Christmas, but we have to move from the cradle to the cross. And we have to focus on the greatest gift of Christmas, which is Christ. You know, I was talking about gifts before, and, you know, we forgive kids for acting like that, you know, with moving from one gift to the other, or playing with the wrapping rather than with the present. But this Christmas, don't get caught up in the wrappings or the trappings and miss the gift. Because the gift of Christmas is Christ. He is the gift. You know, Christmas time is often a time where we receive gifts that honestly we don't really need. You know, some gifts are really nice, but if we're talking about needs, we don't really need. And yet God offers us the gift that we can't do without. And Christmas is an opportunity to receive that gift. Christmas is an opportunity to receive forgiveness. Many of you need to receive forgiveness. Like I said, you have an overdraft of sin, and Christ wants to wipe it clean. You need to receive Christ as a gift and receive forgiveness. Some of you will need to renew your faith. Christmas is an opportunity to renew faith. You know, we believe, all of us believe, we really do, but our behavior doesn't match our beliefs. This Christmas, let's receive Christ and renew our faith. Christmas is an opportunity to release our fears. You know, many people carry fears around, fears of the past, you know, what's happened, fears of the future, what's going to happen. There's only one antidote to fear. The perfect love of Christ casts out fear. 1 John. If you have fear today, you need to receive Christ and be set free from your fears. And relationships. Christmas is a time to restore broken relationships. Christ is a gift that can help you restore broken relationships. You know, we all hear Christmas stories about maybe relatives we don't want to spend time with, or, you know, there's awkward things happening in families. When you receive Christ as a gift, you're receiving the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And when you have the Prince of Peace living inside you, you become a peacemaker. So some of you need to receive Christ this Christmas to rebuild broken relationships. So some of you need to receive forgiveness today. Some of you need to renew your faith. Some need to release fears. Just let it go. And some need to rebuild broken friendships. And Christ is the gift. Christ is the gift of Christmas. You know, as we come to Christmas, there's plenty of gifts. We looked at the Magi, they brought gifts. But in the end, the whole story of Christmas is about Christ being a gift to us, being a gift to the human race. And I want you to pause and, like, I know we meet here, we're Christians, but I want you to pause and think. Think about fears in your life. Think about, you know, your relationships. We need Christ in us, you know, to restore that. So as Levi sings, let's listen, let's pray. If any of you would like prayer, you know, please come. And, you know, Johnny and I can pray, Michael. If any of you would like prayer for healing, please come. And I'll get some of the, you know, young people to pray for you. But just take this time to sit and, you know, think about what Christ has done for you.